God, the Bible says that God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. The Bible says that God, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He was yesterday, He'll be tomorrow. And what He is tomorrow, He is already there today for you. Amen. One quick announcement that I forgot to make that was on my paper. Two things. One is, there's Christmas cards in the box back there. We only leave them back there until the end of January, and then file 13 will get every one of them. So if you want them, go ahead and get them. Number two is there's financial reports back there from your contributions for this year. They're in the box as well. That's just how we do it here at Thomasville. And what don't get collected, we normally just mail them to you at the end of the season, which is normally around the 15th or 16th of June or July. Just kidding. After we get done with all that, but please go by and get those, and that way you'll have those as you move forward for the 2024 purposes and your 2023 reasons as well, taxes and stuff. But anyway, God is good. Amen. I just want to thank Him today for being so good to us. I know there's other people that came to my mind while I was back there, and I thought, man, I'll get scolded for not mentioning individuals, and a lot of times I do forget people to mention names, but it's not on purpose. I promise it's not. It's just a simple fact that I didn't get it written down or somebody didn't give me a prayer card. So remember those individuals as well. I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. Most of you know where that's at. You got the second book of the Bible. You go to Genesis, then you go straight into the book of Exodus. It's a long, long book. It's a lot of history. It's got a lot to do with the children of Israel as they exited Egypt. And I believe, as I thought about this yesterday and putting the message together, that there's certainly, the Bible says that these things was done, as the King James uses the word, in samples. They were there for in samples, but really we know it was the examples that they were there for us. So I want to dig off into some stuff this morning and talk about some things. And again, you know me by now. If you don't, this is pretty much how I roll. So I don't know why it works this way. It just does. God will put something in my heart. I will not get through it in one service, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know how many services it will, but I will not get done today. I promise that this morning. I will not. Barely get the surface scratched this morning. And then we're going to be walking through some things most likely over the next several weeks and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights as well. Again, thank you for being here in God's house today. I want to go to Exodus chapter 13. I want to start reading in verse number 17. And this is what the word of the Lord says. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, let's peradventure the people repent when they see war and they turn to Egypt. And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up ranked or harnessed out of the land. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. I'm not going to focus on that verse of Scripture for the message today. But when I was writing my notes and studying this, there's something I believe is very important in that verse of Scripture that I believe that we're all going to remember later in the message, and maybe even at a later time next week or whenever. But this is very important that I say this right here, because one generation speaks to another generation. And what one generation is saying, the next generation, they may not see that come to fruition, but the next generation is going to be walking in the promises of the former generation. And we'll talk more about that as time avails us to be able to do that. So just sort of put that kind of on the back burner for a few minutes, and then we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Verse 20, the Bible says, and they took the journey to Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way. And by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night before the people. I want you to just to stretch your hand this way, and we're going to walk off into this and see where we end up this morning. Father, we do love you today, and we do thank you so much, God, for your amazing grace. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this room this morning. I pray, Father, that as we study this word together, as we talk about this together, I pray, Father God, that you just open up the eyes of our understanding, that God, that we would hear from you, that Lord, that you would lead this church into the future, that you would lead us in the way that we are to go, and Lord, help us to be obedient to you. And Father, we just pray for the anointing that breaks every yoke. I pray, God, that you would just touch us and help us, God, in all that we endeavor to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, when I began to think about 2024 as a pastor, the responsibility of myself, our leadership team, all the people that have parts and pieces of this church making it happen, I've often said we've got a, 30 people staff that really have to be Johnny on the spot, so to speak, to make it happen on an ongoing and a consistent basis. It may not hardly be that many people, but yet everybody plays a part in what we are trying to accomplish here for God and for His glory. And as I begin to think about 2024 and I begin to think about moving forward, there was a question that came to my mind that I believe is very important to myself and our staff and our workers and people that really are close-knit in pushing this church in the direction that it is to go in. So before I get into the message and what I want to share this morning, I want to just kindly walk off into this way. So if I had to have a title today, it would be simply this: where do we go from here? Now, I don't know how many times as a pastor that I've ever asked myself that question. Not necessarily what are we going to do, but really, what direction are we really going in? And I believe that's very important because the Bible teaches us that without a vision, the people perish. And I know that we've got to be visionaries, and I know that we've got to be the ones to sow the vision in front of the people so that they will go forward with us as we get in line with what God is doing, as we become leaders. And leaders, if we have leaders, we've got to have followers. So all of that works together. There's really several questions that came to my mind when I believe the Lord spoke to that into my heart, like, where do we go from here? And one of the things I believe is simply this, and this is just how it came to my heart. Lord, what are you speaking to me? Have you ever asked yourself, God, what are you speaking to me? Lord, what are you saying to my heart? When we begin to look at this scripture, and again, I want to get into that a little bit later on, over and over and over and over again, through the book of Exodus with Moses and all the way throughout the Word of God, there's this little clause that even goes over into the book of Revelation. And even there, there's this clause that says this, and God said, which to me lets me know that God is not dead, which means that God is there to give you and I instruction on what He wants. When I begin to think about this, I said, Lord, to my own heart, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And that is basically saying, concerning my personal life, as Alan Green, as me, what are you saying to me, Lord? What are you speaking to me as a pastor, as a leader, as the shepherd of this flock? What are you saying to me? Where are we going? And then the next question was simply this: what are you saying to the people? What is the people hearing God say? Which by that I mean the church. What is the church hearing God say? And then, not only that, what do you want God to say as an individual? So there's three things going on this already. What is God saying to me as a shepherd? And then he says, what is God saying to the body that we all go together? And then what is God saying to the individual? Now, these next set of questions really got me, because this is how it came to me. Am I, Alan, listening? Am I really listening to what God is wanting to say? Am I listening? Am I tuned in to what God is saying, that when God wants to speak, that I can hear what God is saying? The second one was this: will I listen? You know, there's so many people that are absolutely filled with rebellion, and they're so filled with this redundancy or this rebuttal, rebuttal against God, that they won't listen to God if God speaks to them. And then through that, will I listen? So two things: am I listening, and will I listen? The third one is this: and how will I respond? So my questions, as I work my way through this, how will I respond to what God is saying? If and when God speaks to me, am I willing to do what God tells me to do? That's a lot of hard questions. I mean, all this happened at one time. It's just like, you know, it all bottlenecked on me. And then the next thing was simply this: will I respond to God? However God speaks to you, will you be willing to do what God tells you to do? And will you be obedient to what God says that His desire is for your life? And how will we as a church respond to God? And how will that response fit in? And how will I do my part to make it happen for the church at large and for me in my individual life? The next thing is where are you taking us, Lord? What does the future look like? Not only for you as an individual, but what does the church look like for the corporate body of the church? What does it look like for Thomasville Church of God? Are we listening? Are we going to hear God's voice? Are we going to respond? How are we going to respond? By that, I'm simply saying this: where is God taking us, and where is He leading us? And then, what is God's goals versus our goals? God's plans versus what we thought. And then, again, another thing I thought about was who will be here a year from now? Simply by that, I mean, how many people are really committed to the Thomasville Church of God to the point that we're going to walk through this thing together and achieve what we hear God saying, what we feel like God is speaking to us? Are we willing to band together in order to carry that out when God speaks to us, even though things change? And we'll talk about that. What if things change? What if things are different than they've ever been? What if God puts new dreams and new visions in our hearts? And what if God says something that's totally abstract, to something that we've never done before? Are you willing to get on board and to do what God calls us to do, even though we've never done it before? See, God, when you think about God, the vision that God has for change often comes from God, simply because God cannot be boxed in. The vision of God has to be caught. And I believe that God is willing to move us further than we've ever been before. And again, when I begin to think about this, we begin to think that there's an old saying that says, those who don't know where they're going will be sure to get there. I don't know who came up with that, but it's one of the quotes that I came across. And as followers of the Lord, you and I are to do a few things. And I know that you know these scriptures, but we're going to talk about them anyway when we look into the scripture here in just a few minutes. So in this, we see, first of all, as we look at this text, and again, there was a man by the name of Moses. Moses in Christology was a typology of Christ leading the children of Israel out of bondage, delivering them out of Pharaoh's bondage, delivering them to the land of freedom, if you will. In order for them to be delivered, they first had become good followers. So I ask you that question today, are you a good follower? Are you following after Christ with all of your heart? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this in several different places. Isaiah 55 says it like this. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen? Call ye upon him while he is near. We look at this scripture again, although we all throughout scripture we find situations after situation where they were instructed to walk in the ways of the Lord. Matthew 6 and 33 says basically the same thing. He teaches us to seek the Lord while he may be found. We see that in the scripture. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. The Bible teaches us, is these questions that I've already mentioned, the first thing on our priority list as we go into 2024 is that we need to be seeking God to see what God wants. Psalm 27 and verse number 4, and I appreciate the girls upstairs working so hard here. But it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Will you listen? Is God speaking? What is he saying? Will you be obedient? What if it causes me to change? Am I willing to walk in the change that God is putting in my heart right now? You know, as I've already stated, a man that does nothing is guaranteed 100% surely to succeed in failure. And I believe that God has called the church to be his bright and shining light on planet Earth, even in the day and the hour that we're living in. And I believe as we go into 2024, one of the first things that I believe that God has showed me as a pastor is we've got to have a year of seeking the Lord. We've got to seek God. We've got to see what God wants. It's one thing to have the opinion of man, but it's another thing to have the instruction of the Lord. And sometimes I found out, even in reading and even in my own life, when God begins to give us instructions, my friend, it may go very contrary to what you and I think, because the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, that his ways are much more higher than our ways. But the Bible says, again, you can look at this in a moment, but we are to seek him. And you can find him when you search for him with all of your heart. Why did God want us to seek him? So that God can speak to them and speak to us and give us the instruction that we need for our lives. One thing I desired, and that thing I was of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. But the one thing that I will seek after is God. So the first thing that would go on our list today in 2024, before any of these other questions can be answered, we've got to seek the Lord. Deuteronomy 4, the Old Testament, again, in verse number 29, is an Old Testament scripture that actually again, reminds them of this. Deuteronomy 4 and 29, and he says these words. He said, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when we begin to hear the voice of the Lord, I believe before we will ever hear the voice of the Lord, unless God just so chooses to speak to us, I believe there's something, this little four-letter word right here, we've got to seek the Lord. There's got to be a hunger. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be a want to in your heart to know what God is saying. And one thing the Scripture's already proven, I want to hear what God is saying to a pastor and to a congregation as we move forward in 2024. Now, let me finish this up before I move forward. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, from now on you shall seek the Lord thy God, and you shall find him. Don't you like that part? See, the Bible says, seek me and you shall find me When you search for me with all of your heart. That's one of my favorite verses of scripture. You don't need to turn there, but it's in Jeremiah 29 and 13. He says, seek me and you shall find me. Let me ask you a question. Are you seeking God? Are we as a church really seeking God? Now don't get mad at the preachers too early in the service. I think we would probably fail that test today. As I and we as a church sincerely go to the Lord in prayer, asking God what His desire is for the Thomasville Church of God. One of the reasons I think that we oftentimes would fail that test is because we're so egocentric. By that I mean we're so focused on what's going on inside of us that oftentimes we don't really care if we go there together. It is what it is. But see, God had a plan for Israel. He had a plan for Moses, and He began to speak to Moses. Now, you know the history of the children of Israel. Most of you have read this and heard Sunday school classes on it. Brother Scott's taught about it, and we've all heard that before. But in this scripture, the next few verses of scripture are the scriptures that really, I believe, God wanted me to focus in on for this morning. He says in the closing part of Deuteronomy 4 and 29, He says, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all of thine heart and with all of thy soul. In other words, friend, put everything you got into it. I believe for the church to know what God is saying, I believe it's something that corporately that we've all got to put our absolute best foot forward. And when we hear God saying what God wants to do, we've all got to be willing to go there together. Amen. How do you know that? Well, let's look at the scripture. When you begin to look at this scripture in the book of Exodus 13, it says several things about this. Where do we go from here? It was a time when you begin to read the history of these verses of scripture. Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go. They had 10 plagues that had came upon them. I'm not going to review those. And you would have thought after the death of the firstborn that Pharaoh would have learned his lesson. But Pharaoh was so adamantly against the children of Israel that even in the death of the firstborn, that he was so adamantly against them that he was willing to do whatever was necessary in order to stop the success of the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines. Now, those of you that have studied and you know that the Philistines were what? They were sworn enemies of the children of Israel. Remember Goliath when David went up against the giant? He was a Philistine. And then he came out and he was going to defy God. And David said, oh no, you're not today. And I don't have time to preach about that. But he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He said, you may be able to do certain things. And David talking to him, and he had the slingshot, and you know the whole story there. I preached about it. But one thing that happened is that David took his sword, the Goliath sword, and cut off his own head and took it to Jerusalem, according to the Bible. The enemy was defeated. I believe today that our enemy, Satan, is already defeated. How many of you believe that? Are you with me today? Satan's already defeated. He was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross that came forth out of the prophecy of Genesis chapter 3 and 15 that says, yes, he's going to bruise your heel, but you're going to crush his head. But even though his head is being crushed, and even though he's a defeated foe, it will not stop him from trying to stop the true child of the living God. God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines. Why in the world would God ever lead them through the land of the Philistines? I believe that there was going to be the tests of all tests. And by that, what I believe was in here was God was going to find out if the children of Israel really did love Him. A lot of times, the tests that come our way, they're not to harm you. And a lot of times, and this is one of the things that I think people struggle with, if God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. I tell you that. No, you're going through what you're going through because God is the God that don't want you to fail. God wants you to bring you out on the other side so that all the people around you will say, I was faithful in the storm. I was faithful in the trouble. And because I was faithful in the storm and I was faithful in the trouble, look what the Lord, no matter what you go through, going into 2024, we got to understand that God oftentimes pulls His hand back, is the only way I can describe that. And oftentimes we find ourselves in situations as to say, we've got to be determined whether God is going to speak to us. And when God speaks to us, will we be willing to stay committed to God and do what God tells us to do? If it was always easy cheesy, everybody would be doing it. But friend, it is not going to be always easy. Whoever told you that serving God was always going to be easy, they've never served God. Because, friend, it is not always easy. One day you're up, one day you're down, one day you're torn this way, one day you're torn that way. But, my friend, God shall deliver him out of them all. God is faithful to His people. So when we begin to see that God led them through the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for that God said, He said, let us preadventure the people. Let us go in this direction. Now, again, God had already told them the land of Canaan. You know the story about that. You know that God had already promised, even through Joshua and even Moses, every place the sole of your foot touches, it's already yours. But yet God, and again, somebody says, did God tempt man? Jesus was tempted and Jesus was tested in the wilderness. After He had hungered for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, the Bible says He was hungry in Luke chapter number 4. And look who shows up on your worst day, my friend. The enemy will most likely show up. Are you okay? I wish it wasn't that way. But even on Jesus' worst day after He had fasted, somebody says these kind don't come out but by prayer and fasting, what the Bible says. But my friend, everything that goes into that, it's warfare. It seems to be one struggle after another. And oftentimes we just somehow or another glorify the devil. And we say the devil's this or the devil's that. When did you let the devil be that powerful in your life? See, God did this. God allowed them to go through the land of the Philistines, and God said, and there that word is, and God said, let us preadventure the people, and then He says, repent when they see war. Turn back. Change their mind. Go in another direction. The Bible teaches you and I in the book of Timothy, He says, O man of God, He says, fight the good fight of faith. If we as a church are going to move forward in 2024, we've got to contend, as Jude said, for the faith. Sometimes you've got to stand on your faith when you don't have anything else to stand on. Maybe today you in your life, maybe today you're having what I wrote down here as a Red Sea experience. Again, we're not going to get that far into this morning. But it's that time that Israel did not know how they were going to get to the promised land. They did not know how they were going to be delivered. They did not know how that it was going to work out. And I'll get more into that a little bit later on, God willing. But maybe today you're at this point in your life that you don't know how it's going to work out. Maybe there's situations that you're dealing with this morning that nobody else knows about. Maybe today there's things in your life that you're saying within your own heart, God, if you don't work this out, And if God, if you don't do this, I know I'm in trouble. God, I know that there is no way for anything good to come out of this situation, God, unless you get on the scene. I believe that's part of what I'm trying to get to today, because I believe if the Bible allows us to see that we've got to seek the Lord. Again, when we think about this, we can see that sometimes serving the Lord may feel very complex, and it might seem like it's very difficult. But again, God will bring you to that place. I want to talk about this for just a few minutes, just four little things real quick. First of all, when you look at verse number 17, he said, let them face war, and when they face war, let them see if they return and go back into Egypt. Several things I thought about. And again, there's a lot of preaching in all of this. First of all, maybe today you're looking at something that I would call an impossibility. What are you confronting? What are you fronting? What am I fronting? That seems to be an impossibility. There have been a lot of times in Sherry and I's life that we've said, God, if you don't do this, it ain't going to get done. Impossibilities. But the Bible reminds us that those things that are impossible to man, they're possible with God. And the reason I say that, and I don't want to jump around a whole lot, but you know the story between Abraham and Sarah, another message for another time. But they both laughed at that what looked at the impossibilities. I guess if there was a man and a woman in this room today, and one was 90 and one was about 75, and they all of a sudden was promised to have a child, you'd either throw up or say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. One of the two is going to happen. Sometimes you do both. I just want to see who was listening. But all throughout the scripture, it says that those things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Maybe leaving 23, moving into 24, maybe none of us really feel like we're exactly where we need to be, and we may not be just exactly ready to take on 2024. Maybe when you shut your eyes the other night on 2023, you were hoping that when you woke up in 2024 that some things would be gone. But guess what? When you woke up in 2024, they were still there. But I need to come by just long enough to tell you today that God sent me by to tell you that you can have His promises in your life in 2024, and those things that look impossible to you, God is saying this to me today, that God has put you just divinely in a place for Him to work a miracle in your life. Now hang on, we're not there yet. Impossibilities is an opportunity for God to work a divine miracle. I want to say that again. An impossibility is an opportunity for God to work a divine miracle. Maybe the situation you're looking at today, you need God to work a divine miracle in your life today. And God, when you begin to look at this whole chapter 13 and 14, and I don't have time to get in chapter 14 this morning, but you do know at the end of 14 that God wrought a miracle in the life of the children of Israel and delivered the children of Israel against Pharaoh's army. God did this. We'll talk about it later, but God did this. I need to pause. I'm not without words. I just have to pause every now and then and let things sink into myself and you as well. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who's listening to me. I never know who's listening to me. But if you're that person today that you're questioning, God, how is this going to work out? I got an answer for you. Are you ready? It's deep. Fasten your seatbelt. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek God about it. How are we going to, where are we going to go from here? Seek God. Let God speak to us. That things that looks like an impossibility, those things that are impossible, those things that are impossible with men are possible with God. God's a miracle worker. God can work things out. God can resolve things that you and I, we could beat our head against the wall for 20 years and it not get any better. But I've seen God work out things and just like that. Things that we never imagined how it was going to work out. But somehow God went in front of us. God orchestrated it. God got in front of them. And that's all they had to do. They had to be willing to follow after God. Number two is simply this, that we've got to become not only obedient, but we've got to follow Him. And I want to just pause here for a second. I don't have time to go to John 10 and talk about it. But I do know the Bible says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Sometimes when I begin to think about that verse of Scripture, I've thought about myself as a pastor. I've thought about the influence of a pastor, and I've thought about how that maybe through the years that I've had influence on, at least I hope it's been a good influence on most people. I don't like to be a bad influence. But I also thought about where the Bible says that God's people know His voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And I'm going to be gut-wrenching honest. Gut-wrenching honest. Is it okay if the preacher's honest? The most painful thing that I will ever do as a pastor is spend time and volume of time and years with people, and then people walk away from you for flimsy excuses and for no reason at all. That hurts. That hurts. But would you not think it would hurt God equally? The people, because the Bible says that God's married to the backslider. When you sat in church and you've participated in church and sitting on Church of God pews, your heart grows cold towards the things of God. See, Israel had to make their mind up. Now, when you begin to look at this scripture, he said, let's pre-adventure the people. In other words, you know this according to scripture. They said that and this is God's people arguing with the leaders, with Moses. They were ready to kill Aaron and Moses. You know that. They said, we're not going over to the other side. Said, we can go back to Egypt really, really easy because there's no graves out here in the wilderness, and we know what it is over here. At least we can die over here, you know. And look at this food. I mean, a diet, what is it, leeks and onions or something like that, garlic and onions? I mean, that's a rough diet right there. I couldn't help but think about it. Kay's back there in the office, but her Aunt Grace was 103 or 104, something like that. Eight, something. I mean, Pat's mother, way on up there. Mary, you might be able to help me. But we asked her Aunt Grace, what is your secret to long life? Garlic and onions. Just eat garlics and onions. Oh, my Lord, what a diet. By that, I'm just simply saying this, that sometimes serving God may not always be prime rib. It may not always be easy. God said, I'm going to test them again to see if they'll really follow me. And by that, I simply say this, that your dilemma, watch this, your dilemma is not your destiny. By that, I'm simply saying there is not always an easy way out. God has a destiny for every one of His people. We can see that in the Scripture, that God has a destiny for every one of you. But right now, your dilemma may not be your destiny. And so don't allow a life sentence to you over something that's just temporary. Trust God in the storm. Trust God in the temporary. And God will bring you into your destiny. When you begin to look at this, God said in verse number 18, and God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. You may be what you would consider in a wilderness right now, a wilderness adventure, a wilderness, a place in your life, and you're saying, God, which way am I to go? I don't know what direction to go in. But there again, we attribute that oft times to the devil, who is the author of confusion. But maybe God is really trying to get us to that place that we'll really begin to hear and hone in on what God is saying so that He can take us where He really wants us to go. Amen? And I begin to think about this as well, because right now, you in your life, you may be in a situation where you know you are not supposed to be, even in a relationship or whatever the case may be. And there may not be an easy way out. But yet we understand that it's the place, a lot of times the place of your dilemma is the place of your faith. It's the birthing place of your faith. In other words, we see where the enemy, we can see when you begin to look at this, we can see that the enemy began to pursue after them. Pharaoh said, I'm going to go after them. We see that in the scripture. But yet, even in the event of that, the Lord protected him. The enemy was to destroy, but yet God was, but by a unrelenting faith, God was able to deliver them, because it was not God's desire for them to be defeated any more than it's God's desire for you to be defeated. They had this tenacity, and we got to talk a lot about this. But they had to have a tenacity within their own heart, and a determination within their own heart to do what God has called them to do. And I said that to say this: when you and I leave this place this morning, we've got to develop something on the inside of us, not just some type of surface relationship, not just something that somebody else gave us, not just coming to church to please or appease somebody else that may want us to come with them, but my friend, a desire within our own heart, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to seek the Lord in 24, and I'm going to become the man or the woman of God that God wants me to become and that God wants me to be. And it said that God led them there. God led them to the place of the enemy, because God was going to, watch this, God was going to spoil the enemy. And I know that by reading the text. And I said that to say this, maybe in your life right now, you're wondering what in the world is going on. I wish it was a whole lot better. I wish it was a whole lot different. But hey, my friend, no matter what you go through, God's going to bring you through. And the goal is to spoil the enemy. Make havoc of the enemy. Expose Satan, if you will. Expose the very enemy of your soul, so that at the end of the day, God will get the glory out of it. That's what happened in this story. And we see this. And then the last thing here is simply this. The victory became their bitterness. By that I simply mean, and you can read this, and again, we got work to do in this. But the whole children of Israel were filled with fear. The Bible says in chapter 14 that they were entangled in the land of the wilderness, if you will. They were entangled in the land. And it's like the whole land shut them in. And they had to rely on God like they had never relied on God before. If you jump over in chapter 14, I'm not going to get into that right now. But we understand chapter number 14, when God began to do a mighty work in the children of Israel. That here's something that I noticed when I read this. And the reason I said they had to have an unrelenting faith and a determination to do what God told them to do is because of what the scripture says, that when Pharaoh was so angry at the deliverance of the children of Israel, he was so angry at their victory. He was so angry because he had lost his workforce, if you will. He was so angry. It looks to me like that Pharaoh would have learned his lesson the last time. But he came right back again. You remember in Luke 4, and you don't need to turn there, but in Luke 4, I think it's in Luke. Matthew and Luke has the same event in Jesus' life. But Brother Steve, down there in the latter part of Luke chapter 4, I believe it is, it says, and the devil leaveth him for a season. He came back. When you begin to look in chapter number 14, the Bible says this. And he says, again, where God was talking about hardening Pharaoh's heart. And then he said that Pharaoh pursued the children of Israel. And as a part of that, his goal was to get the children of Israel to turn back to continue to serve him. See, it would be in the enemy's pleasure today for you not to pursue God. It would be the enemy's pleasure today for you to be so discouraged in your spiritual life that you would throw your hands up and walk out and say, what's the use? Or it would be better if you would remember this, that God's still working on me. That I've not arrived, that I'm in a place in my life where I know I need God's answers. I know I need God's help. And then as I started in the very beginning, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And in that, your heart is seeking God. God's going to give you instruction for your life. I've got other things I want to bring to you. A lot of other stuff that I want to dig off into that I've already studied. So today when you leave this place, you're probably going to ask yourself this question. God, what are you speaking to me? And Lord, am I willing to do what you tell me to do? Am I willing to grow? Am I willing to follow you as you direct me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Am I willing to work through every impossibility, God? Everything that looks like it's never going to work out in my favor. Maybe it's just a test. Maybe it's just something that's a season of my life that I know God is faithful. And I've just got to trust him through the process. The process oftentimes is the difficult part. I don't have time to go into that, but how many of you know you can have a beautiful piece of pottery? At one time it was pliable, it was shapeable, it was formable, and then at some point they call it firing. It has to go into the fire. Sometimes you and I, we go through the fires of life, and God is not forsaken us. God has not left us. God has not abandoned us. But he's purifying our hearts. I remember a song we sung years ago. It's Old Vineyard Music. And we've sung it many times here. It just simply said, you don't need to play it right now. But it just says, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. Make it more like you, or make it ever true. And I believe as you stand with me this morning all over the building, I think that should be the heart's cry of every person in this building. God, change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. And make my heart, Lord, more like you. And help my heart, God, to be everything that you want it to be. So, Father, we love you today. And, Lord, we glorify your name and we praise you and we thank you, Father God, for your blessings upon our lives. Father, I pray, God, that you speak to our hearts in this room this morning. Father, I pray that as we begin to move forward into 2024, as we begin to hear your voice speak to us, I believe, Father God, that you can speak to our hearts. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Father God, I pray that you would touch those that might have came into this room this morning, troubled and unsure about themselves and not sure of what direction to go in. I pray, Father God, that you'd touch them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed today. Maybe you're in this room and somehow or another you've not really connected with what I had to say here today because maybe you didn't understand the book of Exodus chapter 13 and chapter 14, and maybe you've never ever really given your heart to God. I don't know that. Only you know that. If that's you today and you say, well, I just need to know who Jesus is, it's a very simple thing to, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall be saved. And it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're in this room today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never given your heart to God, Why don't you just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge the fact that I have sinned and I have come short. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whole. Lord Jesus, I do confess with my mouth that you're my Savior, that you're my Lord, that you're my Master. I believe today that you died and you rose again, and I put my faith and my trust and my confidence in you. And I ask you to come into my heart to be my Lord and to be my Master. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And if that's you today, if you would just let me know that, we'll pray for you. Hopefully get some materials in your hand and point you in the right direction, get you connected.